This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Maura Fiedler, and on behalf of the COPS Office, I'd like to introduce to you Dr. Sandra Ramey, assistant professor at the University of Iowa, who specializes in studying the prevalence of risk and morbidity from cardiovascular disease in law enforcement. Dr. Ramey has spent 14 years working with law enforcement agencies in studying and developing successful interventions to improve the health of those who work in high-stress environments. Dr. Ramey, can you please provide a brief background on the risk factors of cardiovascular disease?
Thank you, Maura. Traditional cardiovascular disease risk factors include diabetes, cholesterol, and cholesterol has several components, but particularly when you have high, low-density lipoprotein, that's a risk factor. And if your HDL, this is the counterpart of that, is low, that's a risk factor as well. Age is certainly a risk factor. High blood pressure, smoking, overweight, and obesity, and physical inactivity are among the others. And also familial history. Now, we have some newer risk factors, according to the American Heart Association, that some of you may not know about. One of them is stress, the other is depression, and there's something called vital exhaustion. And vital exhaustion is when you become that deep fatigue where you feel demoralized and irritable, usually from exposure to chronic stress. Now, the good news is most of these risk factors are modifiable. There's some that aren't. Of course, you can't modify your age or your genetics, but the others you can pay attention to and do some things to reduce.
Do these risk factors differ for law enforcement officers? And if so, what is the difference in the general population and law enforcement?
They actually do differ, Maura, and one thing law enforcement officers need to know is that when they have multiple risk factors present, the risk is actually magnified, and that's called metabolic syndrome. Some people may have read about that. They also need to know that stress affects cardiovascular disease in two ways. First, it directly affects the disease. It increases inflammatory markers and has direct effects on the workload of your heart, but also it indirectly is related to disease because it increases your blood pressure, your cholesterol, and can cause physical inactivity. For law enforcement, most often what we see are increased cholesterol levels, hypertension, and overweight and obesity. Usually we begin to do a health risk assessment in law enforcement agencies, and what we usually see is higher prevalence of these risk factors when you compare with counterparts in the general population. However, one noteworthy thing is that when it comes to looking at the actual presence of cardiovascular disease, we usually see equal or fewer cases in the working law enforcement officers. And we believe this is due to the healthy worker effect. And what that means is if officers become ill with CVD, they select out of the sample by taking disability or dying or retiring. So to look at that, we looked at retirees in the Milwaukee Police Department, about 305 of them, and what we found were the rates of these risk factors once people entered retirement were much higher for police than in the general population, as the CVD morbidity also was increased in retirement. So that leads us to think that either people don't know they have heart disease, or they have self-selected out of the sample, or the disease manifests in the retirement period.
What are the specific cardiovascular risk factors for law enforcement?
Well, I would say the biggest one and the most obvious one is stress, but not necessarily from the type of stress that you would expect. What officers have told me over the decades is that they expect when they enter the profession to be in traffic control, to be in horrendous situations, to see people at their worst and their best sometimes. But the organizational factors like shift work and the toll that less than 6 hours of sleep a night can take on them, and the excessive fatigue, mainly vital exhaustion, and excessive overtime are things that they really didn't expect or were not prepared for in the profession. We did a study recently with three police departments that showed that people that work a non-day shift are 14 times more likely to sleep less than 6 hours. They also were 2 times more likely to have poor sleep, and this is also a risk factor for cardiovascular disease if you get less than 6 hours sleep on a regular basis. The other thing that we see specific to law enforcement is obesity and overweight individuals. They're usually the prevalence of that is much higher than the general population. Now, this can be related to emotional eating that comes with stress, but a cascade of events starts with obesity and overweight, where you eat from emotional eating, your blood pressure can go up. When your weight goes up, you become more physically inactive, and it kind of has a detrimental effect on officers. We also have looked at the fact that they are more physically inactive than other people in the general population. And what we found recently, too, by using actigraphs to measure physical activity, was that most officers expend more energy and go more steps and have a higher metabolic rate on their off days. Now, that's good news because we also know that if you exercise even just on the weekend, that you can almost cut your cardiovascular disease risk in half for that.
What are effective strategies for reducing cardiovascular risk factors for law enforcement?
Well, the first one is really very simple, and I would just say just move. Even when you exercise on the weekend, as I said, you can cut your risk in half. Even if you can just be aware of the fact that the profession is really primarily sedentary, and by that I mean with bursts of excessive energy, but a lot of time sitting, filling out paperwork, time in the vehicle, or time at a desk. The next one is awareness. That's a very powerful intervention that really doesn't cost anything to execute. Officers need to know what they're at risk for and be aware of what might happen. And most importantly, how you can modify your own stress. A lot of the stressors that you come in contact with, you can't modify, but you can control how you react to stress. You also need to know that although officers have this really high cholesterol prevalence that I talked about, at least half of those officers have not sought treatment for that. There are lots of things you can do for your cholesterol level that don't involve medication, exercise, and diet. But if you have a positive familial history of high cholesterol, you probably should talk to your physician about possible medication.
In closing, what recommendations would you give law enforcement and how to best support officers with cardiovascular risk factors or heart disease?
Well, the first one is also very easy and really doesn't cost any money, and that's to increase the awareness. Begin in the academy and educate the officers about what they might expect from the profession, especially as far as the organizational stressors and the sleep issue and shift work. Stress management is also something that I believe should be taught at the academy, but also in-service time can be used to impart some of these things that we're talking about. Mentorship with senior employees in the law enforcement agencies should fellow with younger officers so that they can share their experiences and hopefully be able to recognize some of the signs of stress in the younger officers. And this will hopefully begin to change the culture in police agencies to one that's more protective and values health and wellness. Everybody has to take responsibility for their own health, and a good way to find out where an agency is to do a simple health risk assessment, but most importantly to give feedback to the officers about what this shows and increase awareness. Particularly academia is a good place to partner because that's a win-win situation because we can obtain grant money, we have the skills to know what to do with the data, and that's a really nice relationship to develop if you really are serious about doing this. And most of all, you need to let the public know what you're doing. Use any media that you can to make the public aware that you care about these issues and that you're trying to make them better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.